This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, November 16th. I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, Rob Cantor will have this week's edition of the Environmental Almanac, and we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. A Champaign County coroner's jury has called the death of an Urbana man who died of a drug overdose while in police custody an accident. In the early morning hours of September 27th, witnesses say 33-year-old James Pelmore was screaming and banging on the door of a home on the city's north side, indicating he had taken a large amount of drugs. Urbana police responded to the 911 call made by residents. After officers placed the man in custody, medical personnel were called to the scene minutes later. Pelmore never regained consciousness, and he died at Carle Foundation Hospital. An autopsy revealed cocaine in his system. Champaign Police Sergeant Jim Ryan with the Serious Use of Force team was brought in to investigate the conduct of the two responding officers. He says everything was done according to protocol, which included handcuffing Pelmore behind his back and placing him face down outside the home.
He was restrained for his own safety. When they arrived, they had observed a cut to himself. They observed him banging his body and his head against the railing on the porch at the address, so they wanted to prevent him from injuring himself or others.
The coroner's jury Thursday also ruled that the August 30th death of Bill Higdon was an accident. The 76-year-old Champaign man was struck and killed by a motor vehicle outside his home on the city's northwest side. Champaign County Coroner Dwayne Northrup says he doesn't believe the driver intended to hit the man, but a warrant was issued for the arrest of the motorist, Diosdado Resendez. However, he has never been apprehended. Northrup says it's believed the man is from Mexico and has returned there. A federal judge decreed Illinois schools are free to ignore a newly minted law that mandates a moment of silence in public schools. Shauna Lee has more.
An atheist parent in a suburban Chicago school is challenging the moment of silence law. A federal judge says he'll soon determine whether it promotes school prayer. In the meantime, he wants that school to steer clear of the mandate. Other Illinois schools have the option of following the law or not. The law supporters take this as a defeat. State Representative William Davis sponsored the measure.
It's almost like taking away a civil liberty to me, because the bill has choice built into it. We're asking them to observe a moment of silence, you know, but again, what the students do at that moment of silence is their choice. So now the judge is taking away choice.
Davis says he may redraft the law to take the word prayer out of its title. I'm Sean Aldi.
A coalition of taxpayer organizations rallied at the Indiana State House yesterday in support of a constitutional amendment to eliminate property taxes in the state. Indianapolis attorney John Price is chairman of the new Indiana Property Tax Repeal Alliance. He calls the current system fatally flawed and says the election last week of Republican challenger Greg Ballard over Democratic incumbent Bart Peterson for mayor of Indianapolis was based on voters' unhappiness with property taxes. The coalition includes 10 citizens groups from throughout the state. Price says they're urging repeal of all property taxes, an increase in state income and sales taxes to make up for the lost revenue, and a cap on state spending. He says a study will be released in about 2 weeks that will provide the details. The former president of a Terre Haute company that treated liquid industrial wastes has been sentenced to 5 years in prison for concealing elevated levels of chemical discharges into the Wabash River. A federal judge also ordered Derek Hagerman and Wabash Environmental Technologies to pay nearly $238,000 in restitution. Hagerman's attorney argued that Hagerman's behavior amounted to a record-keeping violation, and there was no environmental harm, but the judge said the 10 counts could not be dismissed as honest mistakes. A federal jury found Hagerman guilty in May of 10 counts of violating the Federal Clean Water Act. Hagerman has said he would appeal. Voters will decide next year whether to make changes to the Illinois Constitution, but growing support of a recall amendment has one state leader weighing in. Jenna Dooley has more.
Illinois Comptroller Dan Hines wrote a letter to the Chicago Tribune this week opposing the recall of elected officials. Proposed legislation would require hundreds of thousands of signatures to remove the governor or other office holder. Hines wouldn't name any group in particular, but says there are well-funded interest groups in Illinois that could single-handedly rally a recall if they didn't get their way on an issue. He says he made his opinion public because recall seems to be gaining steam without opposition.
I don't think that my voice is going to necessarily stop that runaway train, but hopefully there'll be others that join in and say, you know, not so fast. Let's look at our current system before we get caught up in emotion about this and, you know, change our Constitution because our emotions have run so high.
Hines says a recall would lead to never-ending election cycles and waste taxpayer money. I'm Jenna Dooley.
Champaign's public library is less than 2 months from unveiling its new building. Yesterday, Library Director Marcia Grove announced that the 122,000-square-foot facility would be opening January 6th. A grand opening ceremony is scheduled for that day. The new library is 3 times the size of the current one. Meanwhile, the current facility will close its doors on December 9th as staff needs time to move books and other materials. Grove says December is typically a slower time and says with the holidays it was the best possible time for moving. Demolition of the current library is scheduled for mid-December. Patrons are encouraged to use the Douglas Branch Library during that time, and the new library's drive-up book drop-off on Healy Street will be open once the current library closes, and the library's bookmobile will be stationed at the library parking lot during the closure, running noon to 6, Monday through Saturday. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. On this week's Environmental Almanac, Rob Cantor tells us about a plan to make bicycling more enjoyable and safer in Urbana.
There are some people who just don't bicycle, either because they're unable or unwilling to. For them, modifications to roads or changes in the behavior of drivers are immaterial. There are other people who are so enthusiastic about bicycling that they're now preparing for winter by making sure the studded snow tires for their bikes are ready to go. They will continue to bike with or without better accommodations for bicyclists on city streets. Then there's a third group of people. These are folks who would like to bicycle sometimes, either to work or to run errands or for recreation, but who don't because they don't feel secure navigating in traffic with cars. It is with this third group in mind that Urbana City Council commissioned the development of a bicycle master plan this year. Working with suggestions generated at a large public meeting back in May, as well as an analysis of existing plans for bicycle facilities, the city's consultant, the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission, has recently completed a draft of the Bicycle Master Plan. When the plan is fully implemented, the casual adult cyclist should be able to travel from High Cross Road on the eastern fringe of town to Goodwin Avenue at the heart of the U of I campus by means of an easily accessed, continuous system. Plan developers note that, for the most part, neighborhood streets in Urbana already allow bicyclists and other vehicle traffic to share the road comfortably, but that such streets are often not useful for travel between important destinations. They emphasize that the bicycle plan is more about facilitating travel by means of routes that have few stop signs and that cross major arteries at traffic lights. On streets where space allows, but cars seldom park, the draft plan calls for a single white stripe that would separate a shared parking and bike lane on the right from travel lanes in the center. On streets with higher volumes of car traffic and more parking, a separate 5-foot-wide bike lane would provide bicyclists with a dedicated road space. You can already see an example of such bike lanes on Illinois Street between Lincoln Avenue and Goodwin. On busier roads with higher speed limits and few crossings, such as Windsor and High Cross Roads, the proposed bicycle plan calls for side paths separate from but parallel to the main road, along with safety improvements at major intersections. The bicycle network would also incorporate existing trails, such as those at Meadowbrook Park, as well as rails-to-trails efforts in the future. If you're interested in bicycling in Urbana, you are encouraged to review the draft bicycle plan, which is available on the web through the Champaign County Regional Planning Commission, and provide feedback on it. A public meeting to discuss proposed revisions is scheduled for Thursday, December 6th, from 7 to 9 p.m. at the Urbana Middle School. I should add that planning for improved bicycling facilities is also underway on the U of I campus and in the city of Champaign. I'll report back on those plans as they develop.
Rob Cantor is a writer with the University of Illinois Environmental Council. To find out more about Environmental Almanac or listen to it again, follow the links on our website at will.illinois.edu, and you can read Environmental Almanac on Sundays in the News Gazette. Support for Environmental Almanac is provided by the University of Illinois Department of Geography. In the forecast for the region today, expect partly sunny skies with a high around 50. Partly to mostly cloudy tonight with a low of 33, and mostly cloudy skies tomorrow, the high 47. Winds shifting from the southwest to northwest, 7 to 14 miles per hour. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night, the low 28. Partly sunny on Sunday, the high 47. Partly cloudy Sunday evening, the low 33. And on Monday, we'll have partly sunny skies with a high of 55. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Friday, November 16th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, will.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.